What job should I take? What school should I go to? Who should I marry? What should I do with the rest of my life? Life is full of decisions. Life is full of questions and deciding what we're going to do next. And most of us want to do the right thing. Most of us who are followers of Jesus, part of God's family, we want to do the will of God. That's our desire. But how do we make that right decision? How do we know what to do? Is it all up to us? Or can we get some help in this? Now, some people try this little thing of looking to the stars, you know, for guidance and answers and all that. But crazy, right? What do? We look to the maker of the stars. That's the maker with a capital M, right? We look to the maker of the stars when we're looking for direction, when we're looking for answers, when we have decisions to make, and we all have decisions to make every day, every day. Here's the beauty of it. The maker of the stars, God himself, he has something to say. And he's speaking to those who have ears to hear what he's saying. So how do we hear the voice of God? As we conclude this series that we've called Start Your Year Out Right, we're going to look to God's Word, and we're going to discover how we can be those who are actually hearing God. That's the title of today's message, Hearing God. As we start our year out right, we want to be those who are hearing God. There's a lot of noise out there. There are a lot of voices out there. And who we listen to is going to determine what we end up doing, what we end up experiencing in life. And so we're going to be those who are hearing God. Check this out. God's speaking to those who have ears to hear. And we can actually hear his voice. This is what Jesus says. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 9, Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear." And he's not just talking about physical ears. He's talking about spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. So we can have those kind of ears that can hear. Jesus said, it's recorded in Revelation chapter 2, verse 29, he says, you people out here, my family, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, that's God, the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit is saying to the church. So we can have ears to hear. We can actually hear what the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, the church. And Jesus said in John 10, 27, he said, "My sheep listen to my voice." We can listen to the voice of God. We can hear the voice of God. And God is speaking. He's speaking. Now, we know that God wants a relationship with us. How many of you know that? God wants a relationship with you. And in a relationship, how do you have a relationship? You have communication. It's really hard to have a relationship without communication. If I never communicated with Velvet, she never communicated with me, it would be very hard for us ever to develop a relationship, let alone get married. Right? So relationship involves communication. And the way communication works is it's two ways. It's not one person just talking and the other person listening and it stops there. No, communication is a two-way street here. And communication with God, relationship with God and communication with God is the same way it is with us in the natural. And that is its two-way communication. Now, we understand that through this amazing thing called prayer that we talk and God listens. Which in and of itself is amazing, right? That we can come before the creator of the universe, God Almighty. He invites us to come before him and to lay our burdens at his feet, to intercede for others, to cry out to him, And he listens. He listens to us. He listens to you. He listens to me. That in and of itself is amazing. But you see, this relationship, this communication with God also has the other side of communication, and that is that God is talking, God is speaking, and we can be those who are listening. And not only can we be those who are listening, we can be those who actually hear what he is saying. That's a gift. That's beautiful. Something we shouldn't miss out on. So how do we hear God? We're going to look at three ways that we hear God. There are more than just three ways. So don't be saying, well, Pastor, you missed this, you missed that. I get it, man. It's all over the Word of God, right? But we're going to check out just three ways. And they're pretty exciting ways and pretty easy ways for us to engage in. Three ways that we can hear God. Number one, we read his Word. You want to hear God? Get in this book. This is God speaking to us. This is the voice of the Lord. What if I told you that God wrote a personal letter to you in which he shared his heart with you? He answered the questions that you have about life, about yourself, about him. And in this letter that God wrote to you, he even warned you of things that were going to come so that you didn't have to get caught up in them and hurt by them. In this amazing letter that God has written to you, he also is telling you the way that you should go. A personal letter written by God just for you. What would you do with that letter? I imagine you'd open it up. If you got something like this in the mail, right? A letter from God to you. You'd open it up. You'd read it. But you wouldn't just read it. You would probably read it again and again and again. And you'd memorize it. And you'd hold those words that the living God wrote just to you. You'd hold them tightly to your heart. You wouldn't let them go. You would remind yourself of those words that he had written just to you, spoken over you. You would continue to remind yourself, man, when you had a bad day, you would go, oh, but remember that letter that God wrote to me. I know what he thinks of me. I know who he is, and I know he's for me. You would keep going back to that. You would memorize that letter, those words that were written just to you. By the creator of the universe, the one that knit you together in your mother's womb, you would treasure that letter. It's a letter from God to you. Well, God has written you a letter. Again, here it is, right? It's not a short letter either, because God has a lot to say to you. He really wants you to know him. He really wants you to know that he knows you and he cares for you. And he's got it all figured out. And he's on the throne. And he is God. He's written a personal letter to you. He has spoken to you right here in this book. These words written to you. When we read this letter, end to end, again and again, what do we get? We get to begin seeing our lives change. We get reminded that God really is for us and he is guiding us into his perfect will. Check this out. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. Y'all know it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And when we renew our mind, when we read that letter that God's written to us, and we start seeing how God thinks, and we start allowing our thinking to conform to God's thinking in this letter that he's written to us, what happens as a result? Then when our mind begins to be transformed and renewed by His Word, by this letter, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Right? Isn't that what we all want? I said it earlier. We have so many decisions to make through life, and we all really want to do the right thing, and we want to be in the will of God. We want to be going where God is leading us, right? Well, we can know. We can test, and we can know what God's will is, and then we can walk in it. When we allow our thinking to be changed by what He's saying right here. In this letter to us. In His will, it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. It's a good reminder this morning. God's will is good. His will is pleasing, and His will is perfect for you. And we can know His will. We can hear His will. Right here. You want to know what you should do? Right here. God's talking. He's speaking. Do you want to know how God desires that you handle that delicate, difficult situation that you're wrestling with? He's sharing the solution right here. He's giving you the insight. Right here. Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given the word through the Holy Spirit, wrote half of the New Testament. He wrote a letter to one of his disciples named Timothy, who ended up taking over the church in the thriving metropolis of Ephesus, which was a really big city at that time. So for a young man to take that over was a big deal. But this was a man that knew the Lord and was following Him and hearing His voice. And Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, "From infancy, you, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures. You've known the letter that I've written to you. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then Paul continues to say to Timothy, "All Scripture..." This whole letter that I've written to you, everything right here in this amazing letter is what? It is God-breathed, meaning that God has spoken it. It's the word of the Lord. It's the voice of God. It's God-breathed. It's come out of Him to you. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How do we hear God? Right here. Start right here. If you want to start hearing God and you want to hear Him more, spend more time reading the letter that He wrote to you. Go through it. Comb through it. Grab hold of those nuggets. Memorize what He said to you. How do we hear God? His written word. Number two, the next thing is we hear God by listening for His voice. We listen for His voice. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. The Lord said, in other words, the Lord spoke to Elijah. He spoke to a man, spoke to Elijah, and He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by." Awesome. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart. It shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, when he heard, don't just blow by this stuff. God is speaking to a man in a gentle whisper, in a quiet voice, And the man has positioned himself on the mountain to hear what God is saying, and he is hearing what God is saying. It said, when Elijah heard it, when he heard the voice of God, what God was speaking to him, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, God speaking to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Yes, God does speak in a loud voice sometimes. How many of you have kind of heard the loud voice of God just say, stop it! Stop it! You know what I'm talking about. Stop it! He speaks in a loud voice. He speaks in so many different ways, but more than often, he speaks in a whisper. Still, small voice that only those who are properly positioned and intently listening will hear. Let me say that again. God is speaking, but it's often in a whisper, and it's those who are properly positioned and listening intently. Those are the ones, like Elijah, who are going to hear what God is saying. In his book called Directions, author James Hamilton shares this insight about listening. He says this. He says, before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. Now, in the winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut. They were hauled to the ice house and covered with sawdust. Often, this ice would last well into the summer. Men, aren't you glad you don't have to do this anymore? A lot of work, and it looks really cold. All right. I grew up in Minnesota. It's really cold, all right? So in this ice house, one man lost a valuable watch when he was doing his work and filling up that ice house. He searched diligently for his watch, carefully raking through the sawdust, but he didn't find it. His fellow co-workers also looked, but their efforts also proved futile. But then something happened. A small boy who heard about the fruitless search for this watch, he slipped into the ice house during the noon hour, and he soon emerged with the watch. Amazed, the man asked this boy, how did you find it? We were looking all morning for it. How did you find the watch? The boy said, I closed the door. Check this out. This is how he found the watch. I closed the door. I laid down on the sawdust. And I kept very still. And soon I heard the watch ticking. The question really isn't, is God speaking? We know He's speaking. It really comes down to, are we listening? Or are we just so busy trying to figure it out, trying to fix it? Are we listening? Do we follow the instructions in Psalm 46? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. It's not something we're very good at today. It's Americans in the 21st century being still, and waiting, and listening. You know, often to hear God, we have to be quiet. We have to slow down. You're thinking, I don't have time to slow down. Exactly. That's my point. It's God's point. We got to be quiet. We got to slow down. We must be still. And this is the thing, we have to position ourselves in a way that allows for us to hear the Lord. We have to position ourselves. Elijah went to the mountain to hear God. He positioned himself. He went to the mountain to hear God. Do you have a mountain? Do you have a place? I'm not talking about, yeah, you can pray anywhere, and I just kind of pray in the car, and I just kind of pray here. We're supposed to pray continually. But I'm talking about that place where you go to get quiet, that place you go to listen, that place you go to get on the ground, like literally get on the ground. My mountain is the prayer room right over here at Evident Life Church. It's the Evident Life Church prayer room. That's my mountain. That's where I go to get quiet before the Lord, to listen to Him. And yes, I'm not going to do it right now, but to lie down like that boy did. I love that. That boy understood the secret. There are times if you want to find something, if you want that nugget, if you want that thing that's valuable, if you really want to hear what you need to hear, that you just got to get quiet and lie down before the Lord and be still and let Him speak and let your ears that have the ability to hear, because Christ is in you. You've been redeemed. The Spirit of God is living within you. And because of that, you can hear. But we got to be positioned. Positioned to hear Him. God is speaking. Are we listening? What's the still small voice? I guess I should say, who is the still small voice? He's the Holy Spirit. And He's speaking. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, this is Jesus again, the Counselor, He's saying, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things, and He will remind you, He'll speak to you, He'll remind you, He'll make you aware of what? Of everything I've said to you, of everything you need to know. Do you want to know what's on the heart of God? Do you want to know where God is leading? Be still and know that He is God. Position yourself to hear the still small voice, the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us today. Man, what a privilege. What a blessing. How do we hear God? We read His Word. We listen for His voice. And number three, we have dreams and visions. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Dreams and visions. It says this in Acts 2:17, and this is quoting Joel. And it says that in the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Come on. He'll pour out His Spirit on all people, not just some people, not just your neighbor, not just that person in church who you think is super spiritual and all that. No, He will pour out His Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, that is, speak the Word of God, like out to other people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. That's exciting stuff. As we approach the return of Jesus, the way in which God is speaking to us and giving us the ability to hear Him is not decreasing. Now, some people, I think, errantly kind of take that approach. They think that the way that God is speaking to the church went from here, and then when Jesus went up to be with the Father, the way that God is speaking to the church is actually decreasing. That's not true. God's Word is saying, Joel said, we're being reminded in Acts 2 that the way that God is speaking to the church is going to increase the closer we get to Jesus' return. The closer we get to the return of Christ, which we're closer today than we were yesterday, and we'll be closer tomorrow than we were today, right? And so the closer we get to the return of Christ, the ways in which God is going to be speaking to us, the church, are going to be increasing. We're going to be having dreams and visions and hearing God and seeing God in exciting ways. God is not retracting and pulling away from the church. He is not becoming silent to the church. No, He's becoming more and more present, and He's speaking louder and louder and in many different ways to the church. Do we have ears to hear? Do we have ears to hear? Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So after having this dream, which an angel spoke to him, Joseph got up. He responded to what God was saying. He took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Joseph did what God told him to do. He heard God in a dream, and he responded to the word that God had given him. Are you having dreams? I'll tell you this. God's word is true. The older I get, the more dreams I have. I say, you're old man. I'm getting to be an old man, I guess, right? Is dreaming dreams. Are you having dreams? Are you writing them down? Are you considering that it may be the Lord speaking to you? Now, sometimes, like they say, we can just have some crazy pizza and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and we can just have some crazy stuff, right? Often I'll dream, and I won't even remember what I was dreaming. I knew I dreamt, but it kind of came and it went, and I didn't remember anything, and that's okay. But sometimes God really highlights something to me in a dream that I wake up and remember, and I just can't shake, and so I write it down. In fact, I'm going to share one with you right now. Because let's get real, because this is God speaking. This is real life, right? This isn't just theory. This is interacting in relationship with the living God. I'm currently seeking the Lord to understand if he's speaking to me in this. I had this dream, and I was using a large pickaxe, and I went out and found a picture to kind of give you a little bit of a graphic, because this is how I am in my dreams. You know, I'm a rough guy, you know, burly with a cowboy hat and all that. No, actually, I didn't quite look like that in my dream. I just was myself, right? But anyway, so I had this big pickaxe in this dream that I had, and I was taking that pickaxe, and I was just pounding away and breaking up this mountain, and I just kept breaking this mountain. And I'm telling you what, it was such an intense dream that it woke Velvet up. I mean, I was going through the motions right there in my bed while I was dreaming, and she was freaking out, wondering what is going on with my husband right now. You know, finally she puts a hand on me so that I could calm down and she could go back to sleep. But it was an intense dream. I mean, I'm going after this mountain. I'm going after it. And when I'd gotten far enough, I started to realize there's something on the other side, and it's beautiful. So I've been praying into this. Okay, God, I wrote it down, and I said, God, what are you saying to me? What is that mountain? Is it something that needs to be removed? What is it on the other side? What does this all mean? Now, some of you may be like, dude, Pastor, I know exactly what it means. I'm going to tell you what it means. You're welcome to share that with me after the service or whatever. But I'm seeking the Lord in this, because I truly believe God is saying something to me in this dream. He's highlighting something. And so I want to have ears to hear what he's saying and not just let it go in one ear and out the other and blow it off. I'm inquiring of the Lord. I want to share one more thing. We really have a tendency to overcomplicate our relationship with God. When we overcomplicate things with God, it can lead to spiritual paralysis, cause us to miss out on what God wants us to hear and what he's doing. We can become like those proverbial deer in the headlights. You know what I'm saying? The headlights shine on the deer, and the deer just stops, freezes, and bang. You got it. Boom, bad things happen when we just freeze, right? Bad things can happen. Often we can overcomplicate things, and we can even allow fear to come in and keep us from actually hearing what God is saying and moving forward in what God is saying. And I just want to share something with you, a way that I keep it simple, because I know that we're always making decisions, and there are so many people here in this church who have decisions that they want to make, and they want to do the right thing. And I just don't want us to be a church that's overcomplicates things or gets spiritual paralysis. So I just want to share kind of the process very quickly that I go through. Here's the process I go through. When I need to take another step, here's what I do. I first look at, where has God placed me? So when you're looking at making decisions in your life, where has God placed you? What workplace, what neighborhood, what community has God placed you in? What school, what church, what club has he put you in? What meeting has he given you entrance to? Where has God placed you? That's important. God's leading you. He's placing us. And then I go, okay, what doors, what opportunities is God opening for me? For me, the Lord keeps opening the door to be involved in speaking into government officials' lives. That's, I don't know why. That's just the door that he continues to open, whether it's local level, state level, a whole lot of stuff there lately, or prayer meetings that I'm putting together with our congressmen, whatever it might be. But what doors is God opening? Where has he placed me? What doors is he opening? And then what do? I move forward. You think, wait a minute. Well, I'm praying. Okay, I'm praying in it. But then I move forward. I move forward praying. I move forward in the fear of the Lord. I move forward listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I move forward with my spiritual eyes wide open. And I move forward being who God has called me to be in that situation. Not trying to fit in, not trying to be somebody else. I don't move forward in fear. I move forward in humility and in confidence. The only fear I move forward in is the fear of the Lord, that I wouldn't back off when he's saying move forward. I think more than often as Christians, we actually back away from what God is leading us to rather than stepping into it. I think we have a tendency more often to not go when God is saying go than to actually go when he's not saying go. You hear what I'm saying? I think that's typically the tendency that we have. So I'm trying to say, maybe we got to look at it differently. And if it's something that God's opening up, that's a good thing that we can glorify God in, maybe we're supposed to go and step into it listening to the Lord, to glorify him, our ears attentive to what he's saying and what he wants to do. And like God has said, just being who we are, saying what we know and giving what we have. We're children of God. We're the redeemed. We're the ambassadors of Christ Jesus. What do we know? We know that he's the hope. He's the answer. What do we have to give? We have the love of Christ. We have his very presence that we can bring into every situation. That's what we have. We don't have to overcomplicate it. And the whole time, what do? We're positioning ourselves. We're posturing ourselves to hear the voice of God. To hear the voice of God. Let's make sure we're listening. I want to invite the crew to start handing out the elements of communion. And when the elements of communion are being handed out, I want to bring up our new men's minister, Mario. Mario, would you come on up here? So anyway, come on, get over here. So anyway, in our Tuesday morning men's group, Mario shared a testimony. He told a story, and I said, oh, man, that's like right on. And this is, you're going to hear this. And just remember, the first thing that Mario does in this testimony is he's listening to the voice of the Lord. And then he's taking action. Mario, take it away. Share it.
Amen. Amen. This one's working? All right. So this was actually a while back. Me and my wife, we were at a store up the street, Old Navy, trying to get some socks for our boys. So anywhere, right? Where has he placed you kind of thing? And so this is in a time period where I was really asking God everywhere that I went, God, you're here because I'm here. What do you want to do type thing? And so then he began to speak to me and he says, the lady, I see a lady who's ringing people up at the cash register. And he says, I've gifted her with the gift of dance and she does it well. And I want you to tell her. And I was like, oh, it's kind of odd, Lord, like, Some of that rough pizza or some bad burnt toast or something I had this morning. I don't know what that is. And then and he kept pressing on my heart. The next person goes out of line. I've gifted her with the gift of dance, and she does it well, and I want you to tell her. And she didn't, you know how some people, they look like dancers with their posture and their, you know, they look like dance. She didn't, there was nothing about her that said that she looked like she was a dancer. And it was funny because I kept trying to push it back, and the Lord kept pushing it forward, and I kept trying to push it back, and God kept pushing it forward. Finally, I get up. And, you know, there's a line of registers, and she's the one that we go to. So I go there, and I said, excuse me, miss, I'm sorry. This might be weird to you, but God has gifted you with the gift of dance, and you do it well, and he sees you. And she just began to weep. Just not like, you know, tear up. She began to just sob and weep, and she tried to rig up my socks, you know, and she can't do it because she's weeping. And so I go, okay, I was telling Dawn, and Dawn was like, if the Lord's telling you, you need to say something, because I was trying to get like confirmation not to, you know? And she's like, no, you gotta say something. And so what better opening for the gospel, right? Because then all of a sudden, when somebody's weeping, and all of a sudden they know God sees me where I'm at, God recognizes me, and then we got to proclaim the gospel to her. And she was just opened up because of the word of prophecy, because it was the testimony of Jesus, right? It was what Jesus was present tense trying to speak to her heart that opened up that door for her. And so, I just wanted to share that one just because it's anywhere, right? It's real life. It's anywhere. Amen. And it's just what we do because he's with us.
Amen. God is speaking. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. What can happen when we listen? What can happen when we're hearing the heart of God? What can happen when we bring God's heart and his word to other people? Miracles. Salvation. Don was listening. His team, they were listening when they were out downtown. God, who are you highlighting? What do you have to say? You've placed us here. Now, who is it that you want us to talk to? What have you lined up for such a time as this? They're listening. They're listening. And God speaks. And they step out and they respond to what God is saying. And salvation comes to a young man. Young lady at Old Navy. Because God spoke to her through Mario. She knows the love of God. To the place of weeping before her coworker. Our God is living and he's active. He's moving in us and he's moving through us. And the way that he's speaking to us is not decreasing. It is increasing. Church, let's have ears to hear. Let's posture ourselves. Let's be still. Let's know that he's God. Let's listen. And then let's bring his voice and his will to the world around us. And let's just see what God will do. It'll be more than we could ever hope or even imagine or think. That's the way God operates. And we are that church. We are that church.